This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue with his Wake Up Call. Good morning. We are on the eve of the NFL draft. We will continue a conversation about the first round. Also, the NBA playoffs last night, two teams advancing. They will meet each other in the Western semifinals as Phoenix took down the Los Angeles Clippers, a pesky Los Angeles Clippers team that played the whole series without Paul George, played all but two games without Kawhi Leonard, and they advance in five games. The Denver Nuggets advanced in five games, a gentleman's sweep of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who got their Game 4 victory in overtime, but the Nuggets go on to win. I think it's going to be an exceptional, the best you could have asked for, Western Conference semifinal matchup. And then tonight, there are three games of the four that are on the schedule tonight. Four games on the schedule tonight, but three of them have teams up 3-1, and all of those teams are on the lower end of the seeding. Miami, an 8 seed, has Milwaukee's back to the wall. Cleveland is down. They were a 4 seed to a 5-seeded Knicks team. They are down 3-1. And the other one in the series, the Memphis Grizzlies, holding on to a 2 seed. They are trailing 3-1 to the Lakers. The other one, the nightcap, if you are on the East Coast Central time zone, stay up for it. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. But the draft is going to take center stage tomorrow night. It is the biggest primetime non-sporting event that we have on the calendar. Find me another thing that doesn't involve an actual game that gets the numbers in sports that this does. This has been remarkably successful for the league as people now with more access to information that they've ever had before can watch the draft as a real entertainment kind of award show, that the way they've dolled that thing up. And I think it has been a combination of multiple things. One, I think it took a commitment from an all sports network back in the 80s to stick the thing on TV and stick with it on TV, knowing that this thing was very important to NFL fans. They want to know who the young players are coming in. And the NFL sensing opportunities to advance it and advance it and advance it. But I think there's a critical third point as to why the NFL draft is successful. And I think it has to do with two industries, cable television and the internet. Because as I said before, it's the thing that has allowed more information to get into the hands of the average fan. Now, there are going to be levels of fandom to any team. There's the super fan that knows everything and it just reads every bit of publication that they can, every national magazine, every newspaper. They go online, they watch film, they watch games of college football of teams that they have no interest in, but they just want to absorb it and absorb it, absorb it. But for most people, you like your local team, you like college team, the team, school you went, you know, maybe the school you went to, maybe the local team in the area you currently live in, maybe the conference of the area you live in. You're not all over the map when it comes to college football. But that doesn't mean you can't know about the exciting players that are playing in other conferences. For example, you live in Washington State. You may love the Huskies with all your heart and soul. You may love Pac-12 football with all your heart and soul. It doesn't mean you're oblivious to what's going on in Alabama. It doesn't mean you're oblivious to what's going on at Michigan or even places like Maryland or, you know, other places. The way we have access to so many things now has allowed more people to understand who is out there and what value that particular individual has. You used to just have to take a Mel Kiper's word for it. He did the research for you back in the days. That's how come you can see a meteoric rise of a Mel Kiper who, whether you like him or not, you have to give the man credit for being the godfather in an industry that didn't exist. I mean, he created basically being a draft guru. I mean, he was one of a few. There was a couple of them that were out there in the early, early days. But he was the one that kind of latched on to television and was able to ride with it. There was one guy in New York City. I remember reading this article about this a few years ago. There was one guy who lived in New York City who was a savant with college football. He knew everybody. He did it in an age before the internet. He would call schools. He'd get their media guides. He would find a way to get their information. He would get their tapes. And some of the local New York stations would call him, and he knew everybody. Some people tried to fool him, and they would talk about a player that was on it. What do you think about Joe Nottingham? And he'd like, from where? Penn State. He's not on their roster. That's the kind of thing he would do. He knew. He really knew. He really had an ability to know everything about college football. But nevertheless, Mel Kiper was one of the early guys that saw an opportunity in a young age in an industry that was pretty vacant and a network that was wanting somebody to do this for them, and the rest is history. It set up everybody. Everybody that has a mock draft, these things are now – people digest them because we have a fascination with this, and rightfully so, right? The key to being a successful team in the NFL is managing your cap, filling in your holes with free agents. But a lot of the success is the talent you bring in the draft. You can't consistently screw up the draft year in and year out and be a Super Bowl contender. You can have a bad draft and win the Super Bowl, right? You certainly could do that. You can get a C grade and still use the talent you're able to acquire and win that year's Super Bowl. But this is an important process, because in order to be successful, you've got to groom talent, because you've got to get talent on the contracts that are affordable before they get to contracts that are not affordable. Quarterbacks you lock in, but everybody else, you're trying to get into that rookie contract window where they are delivering production. And maybe you'll pay them, or maybe they'll get paid somewhere else. But if you hit the draft right, and I'm not talking first round, second round, third round, I'm talking fifth round picks, sixth round picks. If you nail it, you're getting tremendous production from guys that are going to be cheap. And so then it's as we have grown to understand the successes of what it takes to win in the NFL, the draft has become really important. Now, if you're of a certain age, you might remember a time when all you did was sort of look at it in the newspaper, just kind of went, oh, look, there's the picks and there's my team. And maybe you knew some names, but maybe you never heard of a lot of names, because college football wasn't on everywhere all the time. That's the one thing I got to give college football credit for. You can go and find all sorts of games on your cable outlet, all sorts of them from all sorts of different networks. You can watch everything from SEC football. You can watch SWAC football. You can watch all sorts of football. It's all over the place. But there was a time where, you know, I watched ABC and Keith Jackson, right? Notre Dame would be my team. That was it. And so now you can boo or cheer players being named that even if you never watched a down, you've heard enough buzz. Because the average fan will look at where their team is in a draft board and then see a bunch of mock drafts and go, all right, I know that guy. And that guy's, all right, I know that guy. You know what? Looks like we're going wide receiver here with that, or whatever it is, right? Offensive lineman, whatever. And then when the draft comes and they pick a corner, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because you've been sort of pre-programmed based on mock drafts and the consistency of the mock drafts predicting that you were going to take an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, that when something is thrown for a loop, you're like, whoa, hold on. What are you doing? Wait a minute. That's the beauty of what's going to happen tomorrow night, is this feeling and excitement of what the future is becoming. And no one sells that and packages that better than the NFL. Could the NBA, now there's really only two drafts people really care about in this as a country. I know, hockey guy, you love the NHL draft. I get it. And I know baseball guys who really know college baseball really well, and even some of the high school players that get drafted, and the 30 rounds that takes or whatever it is. But there's really two that get the primetime attention, the NBA draft and the NFL draft. Could the NBA draft take their show on the road? Could Adam Silver stand in front of a podium in Sacramento to an ocean of people? Probably, maybe, but not like the NFL. Not like the NFL. The fact that they're taking it on the road is a testament to the popularity of this crazy event. it's remarkable to see in person. If you've never been to one in person, highly recommend it. As I've said many times, it is the Comic-Con of NFL. It is a, like, you will walk through the people and you will find your fan group. Buffalo Bills fans, we're over here. New England Patriot fans, we're over here. Charger fans, over here. Bengals fans, well, they're collecting on this side of the street. It's fun. It's great. And it's all, it has all been a response to the public. Think about this draft for a second. Really seriously, think about what it was in the 80s. Picture the 80s and Chris Berman on TV doing the draft to what it is now. Has the NFL forced anything on its public and its fans that the fans didn't want? Did, for example, it force Thursday night round one primetime to a public that went, ugh, whoa, I'm not watching Thursday night on that. Wait, no. I'll watch your Saturday draft, but Thursday night, that's a Hallmark movie night. The NFL read the tea leaves. They're like, they want this spread out. They want the first round to be special, taking it on the road. Did they force a city that didn't want the draft to take the draft? Nope. They're all vying for it. The NFL, this thing Thursday night that you're getting in Kansas City is a result. Everything from the red carpet stuff to the crowd to the lights to the glamour to the entertainment. Everything is because they have looked at you and said, you guys want something like this. You guys want this. You want this thing to be the most important non-competitive sporting event we have on the calendar. We are doing business deals, and you want to watch every single second. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll get back to the draft and back to the NBA playoff games from last night.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, thanks for joining us. And if you are a new listener joining us, let's say, on 1580 the Fanatic in Phoenix, this is the good, the bad, and the dumb. This is where we give you the good, bad, and the dumb. It could be anything from pop culture to sports to whatever. And we get the good of the day. What is it, Ron Culver?
The good of the day. This is across the pond. You got to head a little east.
We got to go all the way across the pond. We couldn't find anything good in the good old U.S. of A.
Nah, not this good.
All right.
Not this good.
You already went there for Wrexham.
I did, and I'm sticking with soccer, so sue me.
All right. A little more.
Across the pond.
When in doubt, go soccer.
That's right. The English Premier League team, Tottenham, made a trip to Newcastle over the weekend, where both these teams are in the top five, and they're both vying for that fourth spot right now to make the Champions League, you know, the season-long European tournament. And Tottenham went up there and just got a shellacking. They ended up losing this game 6-1, but that's not even the sad part or the bad part. The bad part of this was...
Are we doing bad?
No, we're doing good.
Okay.
Because the bad part of that game was that they allowed 5 goals in the first 20 minutes of the game.
All right, still not feeling the good yet.
So where the good comes in is Tottenham felt so bad that that happened that to any of its supporters that traveled to Newcastle, that made the trip, Tottenham's outside of England, Newcastle's up near Scotland, or Tottenham's outside of London, I should say, not England, and Newcastle's up near Scotland, that they are reimbursing them their travel expenses.
Terrible idea. Terrible idea.
I love it.
Terrible idea. No, I love it, but it's
oh no, it opens a terrible door.
What we have said about Lamar Jackson's guaranteed contract, right?
Yeah.
If you're the first one to do it, everyone looks at you and said, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare." The second one that does it, then it becomes the norm, right? Every fan of every team across the globe now is going to go, by the way, I flew a round trip to see you play, and hotel, meals, and tickets all cost.
Well, I mean, you've seen the lady who sent a letter to Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, she wants
$3,800 back.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I know you said you reimbursed the tickets, but what about all the rest of the stuff I had?
Exactly.
And I got to ask her a question because I'm wondering how many people were in a group to run up a bill that big at Cracker Barrel.
No kidding. No kidding.
Like, I didn't know Cracker Barrel served fine wine.
But that's very, to be honest with you, that's really dangerous. It really is dangerous because you really, they better be careful with that. You can do it and it sounds fun, but you have to make it clear we're only doing it this one time. Because you don't want people going, I thought that's what you were going to do from now on. No, we only did it this one time because we were embarrassed. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I went out and bought all this stuff because that's what you did to these people. And all the other soccer clubs must be going, what are you thinking? We're not giving refunds and paying for people because they got embarrassed on the road. What's wrong with you? No matter how much we're favored by, what's wrong with you? We're not giving refunds out. Oh, but what an idea. Can you imagine if you went, it's almost guaranteeing a win. Either we win or you get your money back. That's wild. That's great. I would travel all over the country if I had that. If the Steelers offered me that, I'd be everywhere they played, keeping my receipts. Oh, sorry, you lost the yet another West Coast game. Here we go. Thanks. And here you can
here's
send
your
the
tickets.
Check.
Here's your the concessions. That I mean, would you feel fully free to say, you know what? Order one of everything off the menu. Go ahead.
What a dumb idea.
I know. Because we'll see how it plays out.
That's the great thing about sports. You can't. I think this is like George Clooney offering refunds for Batman Returns.
And I think what it is, it isn't because they just lost the game. It was because they got, you know, absolutely embarrassed.
So what?
I know. Hey, I'm just saying that's what makes this situation unique for Tottenham. I mean, because every team loses.
Yeah.
But it was the fact that they allowed 5 goals in 20 minutes.
So what's the parameter now?
I guess if you allow 5 goals in 20 minutes, that's the parameter.
Is that the new parameter? Oh, goodness. That is a wild story.
Yeah.
So, I tell you, the first NFL team that does that, they're going to remove them as owners the next day.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. If Jim Irsay is like, all right, I'm giving Colts fans refunds because we got embarrassed down in Tampa. You just send us your check. If you travel to see us play. And every owner would be like, thanks for all the years, Irsay family, but enjoy leaving the league.
I just realized something that, you know, I gave you my good. We kind of spun it bad. I'm going to give you my bad, which you could probably spun as good.
All right, let's do it.
So the bad of the day is that the Pirates spent money.
They did.
Brian Robinson. That's his name, right?
Brian Reynolds played for Vanderbilt, and he's a Nashville kid.
Yes, and he just got paid 8 years, $100-plus million. Where the bad comes in is because now this leaves only 3 teams left in Major League Baseball that have not spent $100 million on one player.
It's a great deal. You know what it does? It reminds people of there are the canaries in the coal mine when it comes to finances of baseball have always been like these teams have money. They act like they're poor, but they're not poor. You act like these small market teams don't have money for one or two players. They do. And then the Pirates come out and they spend $100 million. And then people go, you know what? They do. And now you want that from the Rays and the Royals and the Athletics who are playing baseball as, you know, with salaries that are nowhere near everybody else. That's a reminder. I did this really interesting thing with my wife last night because we were at the dinner table when that news broke. And that was a local story here in Nashville because he's a Nashville kid and played for Vanderbilt. So she goes, $100 million, huh? And I go, yeah. And I said, you know what? I said, think about this for a second. I said, she doesn't know much about the business of sports. I said, that guy sat at a table and they gave him a piece of paper and he got a pen and he took the pen and he put his signature on a piece of paper. And when he completed the signature, he had generational wealth.
Yeah.
And she went, really? And I went, he gets all of that money no matter what happens to him. And it could hurt. They could release him. They could send him home. He gets that money. They don't may not want him anymore. Doesn't matter.
They may they may say,
he is owed that money.
They may go, hey, times are tough. We can't do it in 8 years. Do you mind if we spread it out over the next 25?
Yeah, they could spread it out over 25 years and give him $1 million a year, $5 million a year, whatever. He gets $108 million?
I think it's $108 million. Yeah. 8 years, $108 million.
$108 million.
And only in baseball do they do this.
Forever. That's what he gets. He gets it no matter what.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I go, yep. I said, just by signing his name, his great-grandchildren will now launch themselves into the world as millionaires.
My question to you, because where the bad comes in, because it leaves three teams that have not yet pulled the $108 million trigger.
Tampa Bay Rays? Let me guess.
Yeah, I wanted you to guess.
Tampa Bay?
Nope.
No?
No.
Who did they ever give $100
million? Probably Az Arena.
Well, I'm being true. Royals.
Royals are one.
Okay. A's.
Of course.
Of course. Why was I hesitant?
Why was that not your A's? First one?
And the Miami Marlins.
No, Miami, I guess, has too.
Oh, well, they gave Giancarlo Stanton that money. I'm sorry. They gave Giancarlo Stanton the money that the Yankees picked up. So, stupid me.
And that was that's worth it.
Give me the third one.
I was a little shocked by
not
this.
The Twins. They just gave Carlos Correa money.
Yeah.
I'm flying around the league as quickly as possible. Yeah,
I was shocked by this, though. It's the White Sox.
The White Sox have never done that?
I never
would have got it. I thought,
I thought, haven't they had big-name players, or they just let them go? I guess they just let them go all the time, right?
No, they just let them go.
I mean, nobody from the World Series run that they had in the early 2000s?
Yeah, no. They
just let them move on?
Well, $100 million is a relatively new thing.
I guess so.
So it's not like it's not, it wouldn't have been like 20.
But I feel like in this era, $100 million, how quickly did this happen to us where $100 million almost feels affordable and cheap?
Well, A-Rod's contract was 10 years, 250.
Right, but that was a long time ago. But I'm saying, like, now we're in the era of, like, you know, $300 million, $300 million, $300 million plus.
So, yeah, when was $100 million?
You see, 8 years, $100 million, you're almost like, Pirates, you guys got a deal.
There must have been $100 million contracts 20 years ago.
Right.
I mean, yes, of course, before
A-Rod got his 10-year 250.
Because we're thinking at the 300s now for superstars.
Right.
Like, we're talking like 300, 350. We're only talking 100 million.
Well, we've gone to 400, right?
Have we?
I feel like we have.
No.
We'll have to look it up. But, so, I mean, Shohei, everyone's predicting like 500, 600.
I don't know. Maybe we had.
Maybe we haven't gotten to 400 yet.
All right, we'll continue. We got the dumb coming
up. We got the dumb, which I'm glad we're saving a segment for.
All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. By the way, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Philip on Twitter, if the Jets were to do that, we said drafting a first-round quarterback, I'd buy a jersey of that quarterback draft night. I would too, man.
Yes.
If the Jets ever made that stupid play, I would want to remind them of that forever. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
Yeah.
We did figure out Wander Franco got a 9-figure deal from Tampa Bay.
Yes, he did.
And Mike Trout did get over $400 million. So
that's the only one so far until Shohei does it.
I feel terrible that I forgot that Mike Trout was a $400-plus million player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what am I going to do? You know why? He's not on when I want to watch baseball. And I never see him in October.
Oh, sick burn.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but truth hurts.
Terrible. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Well, I mean, do you hear the song in the background?
Yes.
All right. Stop me if you've heard this one before, Tony.
Okay.
There's a certain team that wants to build a new or renovate their current stadium.
Oh, boy.
And they want to do it with publicly funded money.
Of course.
But the public, a.k.a. also known as the mayor, has already shot that deal down. So for one city in particular, it could be a nightmare scenario all over again.
So this is an what sport was this again?
This would be the NFL.
NFL?
Yes.
So who's playing in a crappy stadium? All right.
Who is do you know why I'm playing this song?
No.
It's the, you know what the name of the song is?
No.
Cleveland Rocks.
Oh, Cleveland Rocks. Okay, I was trying. I could hear it in the background, but I didn't hear it. Cleveland wants a new stadium? I thought their stadium was awesome.
No, I guess apparently not. I guess they were wanting to go dome.
Oh, that I'm telling you. I just did the story on the Nashville team.
This is
why the Titans and the city of Nashville. This is why the city of Nashville is paying close to $2 billion to help fund this stadium and the surrounding area.
It's very, very early on, right? But the Haslams want a publicly funded stadium. They want they want to build a dome, or they want to renovate their current stadium.
They
want a Super Bowl. They want the draft. They want it all.
Yep.
They want it all.
Yep.
And the public obviously has already came out and said, nah, we're no. not really going to fund you a stadium, no. Haslams. You guys are worth like $4 or $5 billion.
Nope. You haven't given us anything from this franchise. Franchise has been a waste of time since coming into this league again in 99.
Obviously, it's way too early to say it, but could the Browns be on the move again?
I don't think they'd be on the move.
Would you have said that one with Art Modell?
That's true. Art Modell ran into the same problem.
He did.
Art Modell, for people who don't remember this, the city of Cleveland at the time, and we're talking 90s, they built the Cavaliers a new place. They built what was then Jacobs Field. Remember that for the Indians?
Oh, yeah.
At the time. And they built the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Modell wanted money for renovations to the state. Didn't even want a new stadium. I mean, I think he pitched an idea of a new stadium, but was just like, just give me some millions of dollars to renovate this one. And he didn't get it. And he was renovating the stadium himself. And again, because these NFL properties are so important, Baltimore was like, well, we just lost a team years ago when the Colts left. We'll give you a brand new crib. You can come here and play. And they went, okay. All right. Yeah. The city of Cleveland's going nowhere. So you might be onto something where the Haslams go, are we doing this again?
Yeah.
We're asking you for help, and you guys will say no.
And here's my thing, right? Because I look at it this way: this current Browns team, and we're going to separate it. I know the Browns own the history, you know, right. the history belongs to Cleveland, but this current team, would you really miss it?
No, you'd miss. You would just go here. You could have.
I mean, that's the sad thing about this, right?
Right.
I mean, first of all, you know, what do we know about the Browns? There's a jersey hanging in some art shop somewhere in Cleveland that has, you know, way too many names on it. And now their latest quarterback is so riddled with controversy that they are literally the butt of all jokes across the NFL.
Right.
I don't know if I would miss it.
So, but
I would miss the Browns.
They would be leaving a fan base that's not apathetic to them.
Right.
They are the Browns are 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the list of the important things going on in Cleveland.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, listen, the Guardians, which is I still can't get
to
use the
playoffs last year, and they're not.
And they've been there a lot longer, but that's not Cleveland's team.
Right.
Cavaliers
in the playoffs, they're not as important as the Browns.
That's not Cleveland's team. I mean, Cleveland has an identity, which is the Browns.
So if you are the owners, where would you take that team that is not going to be apathetic if you do the same things 5, 6 years down the road? It is one thing to say we're bad. It's another thing to say, yeah, and for whatever reason, everybody comes to the games.
Yep.
We sell out all the time. All of our radio stations talk about us all the time. They may not like what they're talking about, but they're never not coming. And so
I think they're just looking for the Haslams are looking for a measly $1 billion to build a dome stadium.
You know what the NFL's problem right now is? I said this for years, and I got laughed at by people because I was told that Los Angeles was a lousy NFL city, right?
Yep.
And I said for years, they let those teams move, and they kept that market open for 20 years. to be the carrot on the end of the stick that every owner in this league would use to get a new stadium from their public. Every single team that was looking to the public to build them a new stadium, they dangled Los Angeles out there. Just casually. They didn't threaten, but they, Los Angeles is nice. And I said, they kept that market open for that reason. And everyone said, no, they didn't. L.A. is a terrible NFL town. It's so much to do there. And I'm like, wait. How many people live in L.A.? And at the time, it would be like 14 million. I'm like, how many people do you need to be dedicated to your football team? A million? 900,000? You can't get that in that city? I was like, they're doing this for a reason. And sure enough, look across the league.
I still don't know if the Chargers have gotten that.
Well, look across the league. Look across the league at new stadiums. Now, some of them didn't threaten, right? They didn't really dangle it. But Denver got a new stadium. The Steelers got a new stadium. The Colts got a new stadium. I mean, Jacksonville got renovations to their stadium.
You brought them up
Tampa
today.
Tampa Bay got a new stadium. Like, they all got new stadiums in the last 25 years.
And you brought it up today. Tennessee. Yeah. It's moving forward with the new stadium.
Tennessee's getting a new stadium. Like, they don't have that anymore. They don't have that one big market that you would feel.
Unless they're spinning it this way. I mean, the only market that I could see that would house an NFL team that would be willing to take on an NFL team would be St. Louis.
St. Louis would be the one city.
Because there's a fan base. But you can't spin it, hey, these guys are going to spend, you know, millions and billions of dollars to build you a new stadium. We just have a rabid fan base that is looking for something.
I love St. Louis. I think it's a great city. But if I was a politician in any NFL city that was threatening to move to St. Louis, I would call their bluff.
Yep.
Especially if the team was popular. And I mean, I don't mean like certain teams that don't fill their stadiums. I mean like a where there's a rabid fan base. Like, go ahead. Like, I'd love to see you sell that. Because you're gonna run into probably the same problem.
Oh, you definitely will. I mean, Gronky.
Gronky took the
Rams in the first place.
That city lost two teams.
Yes.
Right, because of the very reason you'd want to leave here. Right, so. I always found that Angeles market story to be really more in depth than just not an NFL.
And you can't dangle the Vegas carrot anymore because that would have been the new one.
Hey,
America's playground. Look at the way the game is changing. Vegas is perfect for a team. I mean, there isn't another NFL team that you could. Or NFL or city that you can say.
Jerry's never letting anybody go to San Antonio.
Nope.
I don't know if the Seattle Seahawks would let anybody in Portland.
Right.
Maybe. But I can't think of another place that is outside of St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis is probably the best.
The one that always constantly pops up too, Birmingham, is too small.
Oh, God. Yeah, Birmingham.
You know, I mean, it's a huge fan base, but it's almost like, you know, by those rationales, Alabama wouldn't allow a team to go. Like, no, we dominate weekends here in the fall.
Exactly. Atlanta would probably have something to say about that too.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
But yeah, but I mean, it's just, it's a, I mean, maybe go to Canada. I don't know.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's been thrown out there before. Yeah. Buffalo Bills have been flirting with
Toronto.
And they're getting a new stadium, too.
Yes, they are.
And the list goes on and on. And listen, don't get me wrong. I get it. You can't play in some of the dumps that they used to play in back in the day, right? And I personally am glad all the ashtray cookie-cutter 1970s dual-purpose stadiums are now out of existence. But
I think they should bring it back in Vegas for the Raiders and A's.
Can only go to the public well so much before people go, yeah, what about schools? I don't know. And maybe the homeless problem that we have in this city. Because that's what they tried to sell in Nashville. We could use this $3 billion for schools and affordable housing. And they're like, no, final four and Super Bowl.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue. Hour three, we got Joel Blank join us. Alex Stroh will join us as well. ESPN Madison. We will talk about the Packers and the trade of Aaron Rodgers and also get into the Bucks as tonight they host Game 5 of their playoff series. Last night, big win for both Phoenix and Denver, wrapped up their series. Devin Booker, best player in the playoffs. It's 1A, 1B with me with Jimmy Butler, 1B. Devin Booker has been remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Had a good game last night. Not a good game last night. Had a great game last night in their elimination of the Clippers. So nevertheless, Phoenix and Denver on a collision course. The Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies play tonight. Lakers can advance facing off against the winner of Golden State Sacramento. Those two teams will play tonight, but that's 2-2. So it's definitely going game six back to the Chase Center. Whether the Warriors are down when they go for game six and need a win, or whether they can wrap up the series, that'll be determined tonight. Celtics did not close it out last night. They will have to go back to Atlanta to play the Hawks in game six on Thursday. By the way, Janet Jackson had a concert scheduled in Atlanta that had to be. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You are State Farm Arena and you scheduled a Janet Jackson concert when you could have been scheduling games. How does that work? This is the one thing I'm not privy to that I probably should do a little research in. How do stadiums, the people who work for the stadium, not the teams, the stadium, book events based on playoff availability?
Well, I guess maybe they do it prior to the NBA Janet releasing Jackson, the schedule.
So Janet Jackson must have had a concert scheduled there months in advance.
Right.
Right? Without any knowledge of what the Hawks would or would not do in the postseason. And then the NBA went, okay, but if we need that for game six, you cancel the Janet Jackson concert. And they go, yeah, well, yeah, obviously. They're the primary resident of this place.
But it's so weird. Yeah, obviously, we'll cancel
it. Right, sure. We'll just cancel a Janet Jackson concert. No big deal. Sure. Why not? Can I say this without insulting the great Janet Jackson? But I'm going to say
of course.
She still can sell out a basketball arena today?
Yes. I think people are still hoping Justin Timberlake shows up.
She's not doing the Vanilla Ice, like, puppet show and Vanilla Ice thing. Like, she's not doing, Sneaky's Bar and Grill and outside of
I would have figured by this stage she would be Casino Circuit.
That's what I was thinking. Come down to Wild Jack's Casino. We've got 2-for-1 buffets and $5 blackjack. And don't forget, you can see Janet Jackson on Friday, Saturday. Oh, what the heck, anytime we need her.
Just for
$5. Yeah, exactly. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. Buy one, get 10 free. That's what I'm thinking. I didn't think she could sell out. I mean, that's how untapped into the music world I'm in. Well, she could have a number one record right now.
She doesn't.
I would have no idea.
I don't think she has any new music.
You know?
I think she's still, you know, living off of Rhythm of Nation.
That thing with Justin Timberlake was 20.
I know.
5 years. And that's why I said 22 years ago.
Maybe that's why she's selling out arenas, because people are hoping for a wardrobe malfunction.
Maybe that's the case. I think that was 03. So maybe
would you sit there and be like, you know, the show's not over yet, Janet. Wink, yeah. Wink. You know what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Right?
She was considered kind of old then.
Yes.
And that was 20 years ago. Is she still, like, I don't know how old she is, but I didn't think she was State Farm Arena in downtown Atlanta good.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, I was in a casino.
She's not selling Mercedes-Benz yet, so.
Right, I gotcha. I was in a casino one time in Pennsylvania, and you know who was the singer that they were promoting? Frankie Valli.
Yes.
Like, and I said to myself, if Frankie Valli, who has had a career, just a phenomenal career, at his age is doing Sands Casino in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, or wherever I was in. If that's where you end up. I was in a casino in Colorado, like southern Colorado, like a small town casino. Chuck Negron of Three Dog Night was performing that night.
I mean, it was weird. Back when I, in a former life, when I was doing casino advertising.
Right.
I mean, it was funny to see the groups that were always performing at this one casino that I worked with. It was always, you know, it was always Gladys Knight. It was Bruce Hornsby. It was,
A
lot of those older acts that, yeah, they can't sell out stadiums or arenas anymore, so you bring them in. But I decided to look and say, you know, the former casino that I worked with, who are they bringing in? And it's kind of shocking.
Who are they bringing in?
They have Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg is casino touring?
Yeah. Alice Cooper. Ice Cube.
Okay, hold on.
Weezer.
Okay, hold on. If you had Janet Jackson on one side and Alice Cooper on the other side.
Well, you can't cancel Alice, right?
Right. And you said, which one of these artists still is still selling out basketball arenas, NBA arenas?
Yeah.
I'd lean towards Alice Cooper.
Oh, he's every day of the week.
Every day of the week. If you said one of these is doing the stadium, the casino tour, I would say Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Alice Cooper has still got enough people willing to buy basketball stadium tickets. Well, maybe Janet Jackson does too.
In all fairness, though, this is a pretty big casino in Southern California. So I'll give them their credit, their due. That they, you know, they can pull in some good acts. I mean, it's
so
a way out there because all casinos are on an Indian reservation, so it's kind of outside of San Diego, but it does pull in some decent acts.
And by the way, when we say casino tour, we're not talking like MGM Grand Las Vegas.
No. We're not talking Vegas at all.
Celine Dion at the Mirage or whatever.
Elton John or
right.
Who are some of the
not
other
that.
Ones?
We're talking
Britney
like
Spears. I mean,
like you drive down a middle of nowhere road and there's a casino and you're like, casino way out here, huh? Wow, that's wild. Maybe I'll go check it out. They got probably a good buffet. And you go in and all of a sudden you see Alice Cooper's performing or Frankie Valli, that one Pennsylvania one I went to. Yeah, there's a bunch of them like that. That can be very lucrative, too. That's there's a lot of those casinos around the United States. But nevertheless, they canceled their concert because the Hawks, Trae Young hit a three, and now Janet Jackson can't perform in Atlanta on Thursday night. Nice,
so
Trae
awesome.
Young. So what do? You reschedule it?
Does Trae get tickets now?
Huh?
I mean, Trey's never going to be able to see Janet Jackson ever, right?
Right.
She's got to ban him.
She's got to say, you can't go. Everybody
because,
on
I mean,
the Hawks
how does,
can go, but
does
you can't.
Janet reschedule, or does she go down to the local Hard Rock and perform there?
Well, that's my question. Is Janet Jackson on a nice whirlwind tour right now that where she goes, I can't go back to Atlanta because I got to go to Orlando next week?
Right.
Like, I'm done. We're like, you had your one shot in late April. I'm sorry your basketball team was good enough to be playing a game six in round one. But I'm off to Orlando because their basketball team isn't playing in the playoffs. So Amway Arena is more than welcoming and not worried about the Magic playing a game six on Saturday. So, yeah, no doubt.
So I decided to look at the Talking Stick Resort.
Talking Stick
Resort.
Yeah,
which is outside of Scottsdale, Arizona.
All right, Scottsdale, Arizona. What are you guys getting?
I don't know if I've ever heard any of these bands, man.
Oh.
Justin Moore?
Nope.
He's a country singer. Deadmau5, I've heard of him.
I've heard of Deadmau5,
which seems kind of weird to be at a casino.
Isn't he huge?
Yes.
Didn't people dress up like him for Halloween?
Of course, because it looks like Mickey.
That's right.
Then there's another group called Above and Beyond. There's Steve Trevino, the Happy Together Tour. And all the artwork, all I'm seeing is a big peace sign for together. So
gotcha.
The Happy Together Tour. But then there's also Black Tiger Sex Machine.
Oh, I think I've heard of them.
Have you?
I think.
They're live.
It sounds familiar.
They're live and unmasked, Tony.
Oh, well, live and unmasked. That's awesome.
We might have to be a talking stick.
Speaking of tours, a friend of mine, Adrian Dater, he covers the Avalanche, and I follow him on Twitter, and he's a huge Kiss fan. Huge Kiss
okay.
fan. He buys, like, memorabilia. Like, he'll show, like, got this for my collection. He has, like, a whole room dedicated to Kiss. He had a picture the other day of, I guess, Kiss is in Brazil, where they're huge.
Didn't they cancel a concert recently?
I don't know. That's a good question. But nevertheless, they had a picture of the four of them on stage, and behind them was this ocean of people in São Paulo, Brazil.
Nuts.
And they keep saying, like, this is the last tour. But everybody says that. Why would you wouldn't you want to do that until you absolutely physically couldn't do that anymore?
I mean, this one, I'm looking it up right now. It's called the End of the Road Countdown, the Final 50.
Yeah, sure.
The Final 50 shows.
Gene Simmons ain't giving up that cash cow, right? Like, he's going to be doing that. Paul and I will be touring with Kiss for the rest of eternity. There's no place on Earth or the solar system that we won't go. We'll bring Kiss to every household we can. We will have a concert at your county fair.
Hey, I got to let you know something real quick.
Yes.
If this is their final tour, You better start working on October 23rd, my friend.
Is that when they're coming to Nashville?
That's when they're coming to Nashville.
I want to see Kiss live, so I might be going to that.
You better.
October 23rd?
October 23rd.
Nissan Stadium or Bridgestone
Bridgestone Arena?
All right. It's a smaller venue, but I'll see if I can go.
Well, there are no Janet Jackson, Tony.
No, not Janet Jackson. NBA had to kick her out of State Farm Arena. All right, well, it's a wake-up call.